If somebody has a house, a home, and another person goes to stay in that house, like a guest, and he uses the facilities, he has food, and he has drink, and in the same way, the person has rest, relaxes, and has all the comforts and the needs and the facilities and all of the ease is present in that house. Totally, he benefits and makes full benefit and use of that person's house. Then when the owner of the house comes home, back home, and the guest says to the owner, "Who are you? Where have you come from? What link do you have with this house? Why are you here? I don't recognize you. I don't know who you are." So then, brothers, tell me, the owner of the house, will he like the guest or will he dislike the guest? Obviously, he will dislike the guest. That what a person, it's my house, and I've hosted this person, given him all the facilities, and due to me, he is in comfort, relaxed, and he had no status or anything to his name, and he's living in my home, and he's telling me, who am I? Asking me, who am I, and he doesn't recognize me, etc. So Ramadan, whose is Ramadan? Who does it belong to? Allah Ta'ala has said that Ramadan, I didn't give this to the previous ummahs in this way, it's been given to this ummah, you, the ummah. So what we realize that Ramadan is all due to the Prophet Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, that through his wasila, through his intermediary, Allah Ta'ala has given us Ramadan, this praying Taraweeh, reading Qur'an, keeping the fast, forgiveness, Alhamdulillah, Allah Ta'ala has forgiven the sins, we're coming out of Jahannam, going into Jannah, and Akhirah is being made, Hereafter is being made, Allah Ta'ala is listening to the calls, the requests, du'as accepted, Laylatul Qadr, not one, various nights of Laylatul Qadr, eat, drink, thawab, drink water, thawab, sleep, thawab, sit in the corner, in isolation, thawab, reward. Where has all this come from? That Nabi al-Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, due to his sadaqah, and due to his benefit, and due to his guidance, and everything, due to him, we have attained all of this. So this is the biggest topic of Ramadan, the most important topic, the most important message, that when you eat from somewhere, then you are indebted. So what we realize is that the message of Ramadan that we've attained, and Ramadan has clearly given us this message and has given us this announcement, that what is your link with your Rabb? How should you be connected to your Rabb, to your Lord, to your Creator? Very clearly and openly Ramadan has explained this to us, a very good message, that how should you spend your life, that you should understand the meaning of your life. You are spread out, you are astray, and you should know that your connection with your Lord, that on which basis and by which nature and how should your relationship with Allah be. And Ramadan, the month of Ramadan, explains this whole concept and subject to us. Allah Ta'ala's link, the link with Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala is this, that the fast that we are keeping and the month of Ramadan that we are passing through, and we don't know anything. For example, we do Umrah, and Allah Ta'ala said, don't do this, this is halal, this is haram, and this is permissible on Umrah, etc. We know about reward. But a person, does he know the hikmah, the wisdom behind each and every action that he's doing? Aql, if we try to explain our deeds through aql, wisdom, then we try to understand. For example, fasting has given us a message. But can our aql allow us to understand this message? So it's not about one fast. Ramadan tells us your whole life, mu'min, you are linked with Allah in the same way that if Allah Ta'ala gives a hukum order, without any hesitation, reasoning, accept it. That's it. That's the message of Ramadan. Again, as I said, it's come to refresh our deen. How dare we try to use our aql and intellect and brain. What's the wisdom behind this order? Why are we doing this action? Shall I do it like this? So it becomes better. If I don't do this part of this action, then it will become like this. So Ramadan came to remind us that you have no link with the wisdom and the in-depth reasoning. If you have a link like this, then leave the action of fasting. Then first look for the hikmah, look for the wisdom, and put your hands together and go to the muftiyan and the scholars and the ulema and read tafsir and commentary, and tell me, anybody, is there any one of us here, anyone knows the hikmah, the wisdom of Ramadan, and I will accept that person as knowledgeable. Allah is Rabbul Kareem. He has kept his wisdom to himself. What's our job? From here, from this time to this time, you're not going to eat. Why shouldn't we eat? Why can't we do this in the night? And why is it in the day that I cannot eat? There's a loss here. Should have been during the night. Will that person be able to fast? Will it be accepted? No. So this is what Ramadan had to prove, that this is your link with your Rabb, with your Lord, without any hesitation, accept and obey. Whoever breaks the order is like he's broken the fast. Yes, will the fast break, won't it, if we don't follow the regulations? Of course it will. Allah Ta'ala says, this is haram, don't eat it. During these times, don't do this. From this time to this time, you cannot go to your wife. No, I've done nikah, I'm married to her, she's permissible for me. She's not haram, she's my wife, why can't I go to her? I'll go to her, will the fast stay intact? No. Be broken same way as our whole life. Allah gives hukam, order, don't do this in your life. And we, Allah says, don't do these actions. And I said, why can't I do this action? There's progress. Otherwise I'll be left behind everybody, and this cannot be. I need to be ahead. So will that person be linked with Allah? I said, this is the message of Ramadan. Subhanallah. Allah says that if one fast doesn't remain intact, then, O servant, how will you be connected to Allah if you break all of His orders? How? How can I? So now, this is a very clear point that's been proven. Allah Ta'ala says, strengthen your link with me, connection with me. Ramadan is giving you the message as an example. We've understood that in the future, if we put our hands up, we have to put our hands up and say, Allah, we made a mistake. We were going astray. We were going down a dark alley. We didn't understand your deen. Rather, we won't use our aqal. We won't use our brains. We won't look at hikmah. First and foremost, Allah's given the order. That's it. We're going to implement, and we're not going to look left and right. In the morning, this time, salah, fajr. Okay, fine. Yeah, the sun comes out this time, okay, no problem. Before that, I'll reach, I will arrive, I will pray Fajr. So the previous nations did this job, they fulfilled this function, but they also went astray. They created their own deen according to their desires. They also had kitabs, they also had books, they had the knowledge of Allah. Allah Ta'ala sent prophets to them as well, and Allah sent the prophets to them, the previous nations. Allah sent the prophets to them. But the difference being is that they did this action, is that slowly they started to look for hikmah, proving the deen with their logic and understanding. They said, look, we've got to progress in the world. We don't want to stay behind. We need to think about business and economy and prosperity. And even if they wanted deen, there are, mashallah, places of worship. We see around us churches and other places of worship. And there is deen and there's religion. And they name the prophets and they commemorate the days. What day do we commemorate? Just like they commemorate. They say, but despite all of that, how do they do that? Is that it's according to the desires. It's more according to, they have also mulanas, they also have scholars, they also have muftis, they have priests, they have religiously educated people. But what happened was slowly the mind of the human being said, oh, leave this, let's practice religion according to our desires. The Prophet came at that time, those days were different, now the times have changed, we need to be a bit more sort of advanced. And then when they took their hands off the kitab, then Allah Ta'ala took His guidance and His protection away from the people. Isn't this the case? The whole ayah tells us, Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen, Ar-Rahman Ar-Rahim, Maliki Yawmiddin, Iyaka Na'budu Wa Iyaka Nasta'een, Ihdina Sirat Al-Mustaqeem. This is a total dua. This is a total dua. What did Allah Ta'ala say? Ihdina Sirat Al-Mustaqeem, Sirat Al-Ladina An'amta Alayhim, Ghayri Al-Maghdubi Alayhim, Waladdalim. Maghdub and Dal. So these are the two groupings, those people who had kitabs, they were sent the books of Allah and they believed in the prophets of Allah, but they twisted or veered the deen according to their desires and their feelings and emotions. Allah Ta'ala said at the end of the surah, doesn't matter what happens in every salah, every moment, every time, you have to definitely make this dua that Allah, don't make us like this. Say subhanallah, subhanallah. Say it again, subhanallah. So we don't have enmity or disliking, etc. We have to look at ourselves, or are we going to start criticizing other people around us? No. We need to concentrate on ourselves. We don't have time going around criticizing others, hitting others and stuff. No, we have no need for doing any of this. Our Rabb has told us that don't become like this. Don't leave my orders. Allah has given us a dua, a prayer. So most definitely, there's a danger that we could become people who follow our desires and leave the kitab of Allah. I say that, for example, you're going there, don't fall into the ditch. So there must be a ditch for me to say to you that don't go that direction, don't follow that route, otherwise you'll fall into the ditch. Qadi Sahib, you're going out, be careful, there's a hazard, there's a hole, don't fall into it. So if there's a hole there, then I will say it, won't I? So in the same way, these sins were present in the previous ummahs. Allah Ta'ala said that, beware, otherwise you will fall into the same trap. So there must be a danger, a hazard, that Allah Ta'ala said this. Yes. So do you understand the message of Ramadan? So this is what Ramadan has done, it's refreshed our iman. Beware, how dare you, from a small sin to a big, how dare you, a human being, that you consider the order of Allah as insignificant, minor, and then you bring your own changes and you think it's progression and advancement and this is the important to do this. This is the biggest and most foolish, the worst act of an individual, where he twists the deen of Allah, that he is spoiling his iman, trembling on his iman. And this is what Allah Ta'ala has told us from his guidance, that those people who had the kitabs, they had the Nabi, they had a prophet. So don't think that, oh, I have a kitab, I have a Nabi, a prophet. Well, it doesn't make any difference if we sort of contaminate the deen a little bit, take one principle out, replace it with another principle. Brothers, this cannot occur. If we do this, then we will also be on the same maqam. There will be no difference. No difference. So now, do we understand this point? That, you know, during Ramadan, we spoke about these sort of points about the connection with Allah. Did Ramadan not give this message? But as I gave you the example of the house in the beginning and the guest and the host, that such a big lesson Ramadan is given to us, that I've told you about the connection of Allah with Allah. But this Ramadan that you've been given due to the sadqah of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, so Ramadan tells us that, shall I not remind you what should be the link between you and your Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam? How can it be that Ramadan is speaking to us? It's about to depart. It's going, isn't it? And Ramadan is saying it's the last day. Let me explain to you that what is the connection and the link and the relationship between you and your Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Not that, oh, I've got a strong link with Allah. Oh, you will not be forgiven on this platform. You will not go to paradise. Come, Ramadan will tell you himself that I don't know you. And you will say, Allah, I've got a passport. Allah will say, give me the visa. Show me the visa. Show me the visa in your passport. I'll say, Allah, I've got a passport, a big passport. I'll say, no, show me the visa in this passport. Show me the stamp. Is there the stamp in your passport? Yeah. So if I don't have the visa and the stamp in the passport, then fasting tells me, then how will you pass through the gates? How will you succeed in the hereafter? So Ramadan says that I've come to you and reminded you of all of the factors and the principles of Islam. What should be your link with your Lord Allah? So I'll tell you also today in concluding this month of what should be your relationship with your Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So don't say Ramadan didn't tell us, Ramadan didn't warn us, Ramadan passed and I didn't learn anything, I didn't know. No, don't think Ramadan is tradition. Ramadan came, we kept the fast, we got the thawab reward and I'm forgiven, Laylatul Qadr. The whole deen is being taught to us in Ramadan. All of the principles and the pillars of the deen are being presented to us. So Ramadan says that you claim there's no doubt here that, oh, we have love with the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, we have ishq and we have love. And Ramadan says, I don't regret this and I don't reject this. Ramadan tells us this. There's no doubt. Yes, you will get the reward. You will get the blessings. And you have love with the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. This isn't your achievement. This is his achievement. He is such a great person that automatically you will have the desire to love him. I've already told you the poem, the verse related to this, that the beauty is what? The achievement is from the beauty that it makes others love it. So this is not the achievement, our achievement, that we love Rasulullah ﷺ. Allah Ta'ala has made the Prophet ﷺ like this, and the Prophet ﷺ was so great and beautiful and handsome that he attracted and pulled on others. When Aisha came, subhanAllah, that we see that somebody said that, oh, it looks like Allah Ta'ala has made you according to his desire and his love for you. Allah, the Prophet Muhammad ﷺ was so great, so merciful, so brilliant, that we have to obviously love him. It's not our achievement, it's the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Allah Ta'ala's achievement. So the desire of love and the enjoyment of love, and if we want that enjoyment and the taste of love, of muhabbat, see, one is, for example, eating food to fill the stomach, and one is eating for enjoyment and taste. Until today, Maulana has never eats, the Maulana scholar, he doesn't eat to fill the stomach, he wants enjoyment, taste. Don't put too much spice, a little bit less salt, I need a bit of enjoyment, a bit of taste, that nobody eats to their fill, for the sake of eating to their fill, to fill the stomach, to put a burden on the stomach. Everybody eats because they want taste, enjoyment. So muhabbat, the love, that if there's no taste, enjoyment, that feeling of emotion and height of emotion, then what enjoyment will we get, achievement from that love? So it's stated that love of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam is jais and it's important. If you want the taste of the love of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, if you want to enjoy the love of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, then there's only one condition. There's one factor that will give that we have to obey him, follow him sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Do we understand this? Without following, without obeying the Prophet ﷺ, there will be no love, no taste, no enjoyment of the love of the Prophet ﷺ. It will be fake imitation. And where there's imitation, where there is a fake deen, then that's not the true deen. That will not be the reason. Oh, for example, I start doing something, I can do thousands of actions, I can try to present myself in a fake way, non-genuine, then the deen will not progress. The deen will not progress. There will be no effect in my work. Few days I'll be deceiving people. Then they'll say, oh, he's a magician. Oh, he's not real. Oh, he's fake. For example, if I put a flower here, which is not real, and I apply some scent, I spray some rose scent onto it, everyone will say, oh, yeah, this is a real flower. But when that fragrance dissipates, then everyone will say, oh, this doesn't look like a real flower. There's no scent, no smell. So this love that we consider, we think it's a love, when will this be unraveled? When we will be presented in front of Allah, when we will claim to have the love of the Prophet ﷺ, then Allah will say at that time that we can see here that your love was temporary, it was not real. Isn't it? So if we want the love of Rasulullah ﷺ, then what do we need to do? We need to imitate him, follow him, obey him. That's when we get the love of Rasulullah. So this is the principle. So we can claim to have ishq, love. We can say go on demonstrations and marches and shout out, make announcement. We can carry on saying this is ishq, but remember, this is that love, just like that flower which doesn't have the fragrance within. So this is the love within which there is no fragrance of Rasulullah. There's no taste, there's no enjoyment, there's no proper emotion and feeling of the connection with the Prophet ﷺ. So ishq, love and fragrance, these are two things that do not hide. You cannot hide them. They cannot be hidden, concealed. If I love somebody, I cannot hide it. I will definitely go and wander down his street, his road, and look towards his home, his house, and wait for him. Where are you going? I'm going to buy some onions. And why are you going down this street? Why don't you go down this route? This is a better route, easier route. But he knows that, oh, this person has a house here, or why is he turning his car down this road, or going down this route? Then eventually it will be realized, oh, this person has a connection with this person. There's ishq, because love is not concealed, cannot be hidden. The same way the fragrance. If I apply fragrance, you will all smell, oh, he's got this mashallah fragrance and smell and perfume. Can you hide it? No. You can't hide it. So regularly fragrance is applied for others that, oh, you should feel and smell that I smell good and give off a good feeling to others. So that is love. But love, there's no taste. There's no real taste for the taste of Iman, for the taste of Islam. We need the ittiba, the following and the obedience of the Prophet ﷺ. So fasting came to tell us the principles of the love of the Prophet ﷺ. Say subhanAllah, subhanAllah. What is ittiba'i Rasul, following Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam? Okay, I will do this. This is sunnah, sunnah to eat halwa. Sunnah. Let me have this sweet dish, sweet dish, sweet dish. It's sunnah, sunnah to eat sweet. So sunnah is not coming, sunnah. So the whole gathering is saying this, sunnah, sunnah. The, oh, we appreciate sunnah so much. Oh, let's have eat. We should eat meat. Eating meat is sunnah. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam liked eating meat. The Prophet used to like the shoulder meat. Shoulder meat, he liked it. I eat shoulder meat. And I like the meat of the leg, the thigh, the calf. Oh, drink water. Water is dawah, is the invitation, a meal. If he said, is this ittiba of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam? The fast tells us that this qawm, they are so strong in favor of eating. Even the Sahaba Ikram, they never had the shoulder meat the way they we eat, and halwa and sweet dish. We go so much towards food. We overemphasize about food. That, for example, the statement is said that bitter is bitter and sweet is sweet. And we know this. We're so happy we're making our Jannah on this pedestal, on this pillar. We think we are kutubs and ghawth, and that we have practiced a little bit of Islam. Now ask for forgiveness. We're sitting like big alims and ashiks, lovers. Yes, yes, I do this and I give a speech and I make people shake and tremble. I recite naat and people enjoy it. Oh, beautiful style and manner, and I really enjoy listening to this person. Is this not the case today? Because that person's name is spreading. Well, subhanAllah, whose name is spreading? That person. That person who's speaking, who's giving that announcement or that gathering, his name is being spread. But not the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the fast has come to remind us that if you think that this is the obedience to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, then we will fail. This is not following and obeying the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. This is not the case. Ittiba'i Rasul is there. That has your wife observed the parda? Say subhanAllah. No, she has it. Why, have you ever told her? No, there's no need for me to tell her. Every day we cook food in our house and we eat and we present to others. And this is sunnah. Is this not dhikr? Like people say, isn't it? This is dhikr. I don't need to do dhikr that you're telling me. The thing we don't want to do, isn't this dhikr also what I'm doing? This is all dhikr. I'm remembering Allah, and you keep saying dhikr, come majlis gathering. Just now, look at me. I've got a majlis, a gathering. We were talking. Is this not a majlis? Is this not a gathering? So that person rejects using his own things that he desires, he wants to practice, that he likes to do regularly. So the fast and Ramadan tells us that the principles are the same. The factors of Islam are the same. The usul, the principles, the conditions are the same. Allahu Akbar. The person who for hidayah, for guidance, Allah Ta'ala sent the Quran for guidance. Allah Ta'ala doesn't come. Allah Ta'ala says, I'm behind the veils. I'm not in front of you, so my hukum, my orders are coming. Which form? Say it loudly. In the form of the Qur'an. Isn't it? Everything comes through the Qur'an. The Qur'an gives us the whole and complete guidance of life. If we had no Qur'an, we'd be nothing. We'd be empty. We wouldn't be believers. All the commandments, the orders, all of the laws, they come from Allah via the Qur'an. Allah Ta'ala says, I sent you the Qur'an. I gave you the Qur'an. Hudal lin nas. Allah Ta'ala says that. Hudal lil mu'mineen. Hidayah. Guidance. It's the way, the framework, the vision. Allah Ta'ala says that after bringing a man in me, if you want to be mine, Allah says, if you want to be mine like the way I desire, then don't go left and right, forward, backwards. You don't need to read no kitab, injil, Tawrat. Everything is mine, Allah Ta'ala says. All of this is mine. You don't need to go here and there, back and forth, up and down. So what do you need to do for hidayah? Allah Ta'ala says, take the Qur'an. Guidance from the Qur'an. For food, take the guidance from the Qur'an. Sleeping, take the guidance from Qur'an. For salah, take the guidance from Qur'an. For fajr, guidance from Qur'an. Ishraq, guidance from Qur'an. Chashad, mid-morning prayer, guidance from Qur'an. And how to make up the prayer that's lost, Qur'an gives the hidayah. Hidayah, kullu hidayah, guidance, framework. Allah Ta'ala's law, Allah's principles. Beware, how dare we, that if you try to go to any other source for hidayah guidance, you cannot be a mu'min, a believer, Allah Ta'ala says. You will not remain a mu'min. That, for example, there are many examples, the Sahaba Ikram, great companions, said, oh, today I read this ayah, this verse in the Quran. What was their condition? Ulama will understand what I'm saying. That the discussion will become lengthy. So, any man cannot dare, no one can dare, if the Sahaba could not dare to give the reference of any kitab in front of the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, we have to give the reference of Kalamullah, Allah Ta'ala's kitab. Allah has given a total guidance from Alif, La, Mim, Tunzur, Anas, the heart, in the pocket, in our lifestyle, in the masjid, in the house, outside, inside, in the hearts, in the pockets. Everywhere we have guidance from one source, Kalam Allah, the Kitab of Allah, the Quran. There's nothing else that can compare or replace it. Every form of guidance, every step of guidance we'll get from the Quran. So hidayah, we've been given the principles that this is the link with hidayah, guidance. The person who comes into the deen, hikmah, no wisdom, no aqal, no benefit, no understanding, the orders that come from the Quran, we don't compare it or put in front of it or place in front of it our wisdom or intellect or knowledge or brain power. No, we just accept every single principle that comes from the Quran. Everything. So it stated the Quran is guidance, hidayah, light, direction. And Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam says in the Quran, لَقَدْ كَانَ لَكُمْ فِي رَسُولِ اللَّهِ أُسْوَةٌ حَسَنَةٌ. That you don't have understanding, you don't know about the status of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Never make the mistake that you open the Quran yourself and try to look for the path and the way out and the light. Subhanallah. Even today we are split out, spread out. Quran's enough for us. The Quran is enough for us, and my understanding of the Quran is enough in my interpretation. Never make this mistake. Allah Ta'ala said, if I wanted you to just take guidance directly yourself from the Quran, then I would not have sent a prophet to the world. I would have put a Quran, a book in every house. Every man would have opened a book. I've got a problem, let me open the Quran, look for the solution. And nobody would have argued. Nobody could have argued on that. But Allah Ta'ala said that this was not my way. This is not the framework I gave to human beings. This is such a divine kitab, such a book that you cannot understand it, you cannot interpret it, you cannot commentate on it. The whole of the world, you can turn the trees into paper and all of the oceans and the water in the world to ink. And we cannot give the commentary of one word, let alone a verse, one word of the Quran. We cannot, not even a word, alif, ba, we cannot do tafsir. Not even one point in the Quran can we commentate using all of the paper and the ink in the world. And we think that we understand the Quran in our own way, with our intellect and mind. Allah Ta'ala said, I sent such a great personality who's linked to the Quran. This is not the Tawrat or the Injil, that the Prophet came, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, in the way of the previous prophets. The Prophet Muhammad, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, is coming. Allah Ta'ala said, I'm sending to him to you in this way, that his personality and greatness reflects all of the ulum of the Quran and the knowledge of the Quran, and it's instilled in his lifestyle. Say subhanallah. And this is the greatness of Mustafa, sallallahu alaihi wasallam. This is the final message of the day of Ramadan. We've got tomorrow as well. Maybe another point will come to my mind tomorrow. But for today, this is the message. So Allah Ta'ala says that if you say you are linked to me, you believe in me, and you've heard my principles, then close your eyes and blindly follow every order of mine. Then Allah Ta'ala says that he is my messenger, and he is the messenger of the Quran, and he has practiced the Quran. So how do we follow the Quran? How do we practice it? The Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam will give you hukam. You are not taking the hukams yourself. Allah says he's ordering you. So his orders to you are my orders, Allah Ta'ala says. Allah says the orders of Rabbul Alameen are the orders of Rahmatul Alameen, the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Exact same hukam. mirror image of the orders of Allah. Allah says, Ramadan says, open your ears and listen. Just like Allah's orders, you cannot use your brain and wisdom and thinking and analysis to understand Allah's orders. Otherwise, if you do, you'll break the link with Allah. In the same way, the Prophet Muhammad's decision, his orders, his way to use a hikmah, wisdom, brain and logic, if we try to use that to justify the Prophet's orders and his lifestyle, then we will fail and our attachment with them will be broken. And this is called following the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, sunnate Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, following the sunnah. If we say that we are belonging to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, then we cannot justify this through empty words. No, we cannot. So here the usul is made, the principle is made, that if we receive or hear of a sunnah, we hear of a sunnah, then to think at that time, oh, what will people say? What will the custom say? There'll be a loss. What will be the benefit if I do this? Aql, hikmah, benefit, following the day and the age and zaman. If we reject that sunnah, then our link with our Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam will have ended, will have become broken. And the fast is telling us this. Just like my fast will break, Allah's, by disobeying Allah's orders, in the same way our link with the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam will break if we don't follow his orders, if we don't implement his sunnah, if we don't accept his sunnah. So what is sunnah? It is the tafsir of the Quran. Sunnah, uswatun hasana, Allah Ta'ala says, uswatun hasana, that we have sent to you. Verily, in the apostle of Allah, you have a good example for everyone who looks forward. Allah says, I have sent the example to you, just like I sent the physical book of the Quran. Allah said, I've sent the physical being of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. All his characteristics, his manners, his behavior, his azmat, his greatness, just like all of the characteristics and the qualities of the Quran, the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam is a physical reflection of the Quran. There's no difference. Even a hair's width, Allah says, I reveal the Quran and I conceal it in a book. And in the same way, I will send the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam physically into the world, in the alleyways, in the streets, in the marketplaces. For example, to get an answer from the Quran, we have to read the pages. And here, we will look at the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, his manners, his behavior, his habits, his framework, his vision, his speech, his love, his affection. Then we will learn of the orders of Allah. Say subhanallah, subhanallah. So the Quran and the physical life of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam are not detached, they are linked. There's no action of the Quran that is detached from the sunnah of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Just that we can never realize the hikmah of the Quran, we can never understand the hikmah of the sunnah. Ever one hikmah of the Quran. Just like we cannot understand the hikmah of the Quran, the wisdom. Doesn't matter if everyone comes to argue, even if the trees are chopped into wood, into paper, and all the oceans of the sea are turned into ink, we can never write one hikmah of the sunnah of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Some hadith are coming to mind. I'm remembering some hadith. If I forget, then the ulama scholars, the respected scholars, I will ask for some help, because alhamdulillah, my passion is aroused. I am an extremely weak person and I am speaking here for my benefit. There's no excuses that, oh, I'm weak. If you're weak, then the weak person doesn't attain anything, does he? He doesn't achieve. Does a weak person achieve? Only though, does a strong person. The person who's strong, he earns physically in the world. He, person with the strength and power. What's the difference between the weak person and the strong person? The weak person can't work. But if you're weak, then take the tonic, take the solution, the medicine, go to the wali of Allah and recharge your batteries, your iman. Say subhanallah, subhanallah. That then he will take out the weakness from you, won't he? That this is what Ramadan has come for. If you are weak and you're not strong, you run to the doctor. Doctor, I'm weak, I can't stand up, I can't eat, I can't digest food, people are working and I can't go to work, I don't know what's happened to me, I'm feeling dizzy when I'm walking and I'm in my bed, I'm dizzy, and this happens, that happens. We run to the doctor, give me some tablets and some medicine. So can we not realize in the deen, we say we are weak, I'm weak, I can't eat, I can't work. And for example, with religion, we say, I'm weak, I can't practice. So why don't you follow the sunnah? I'm too weak. I'm not like you, am I? You're a good Muslim. So if you're weak and you accept you're weak, a person can get weak. And weakness is truth and it is a reality. You can be physically weak or spiritually weak. So just like for the physical weakness, you run to the doctor. That why don't you stand up after a spiritual weakness and go to the doctor, go to the wali of Allah and sit with him, spend time with him and strengthen yourself, your soul. Spend time in the khanqah. That just like a person who is weak and he has no success in the world, in the same way the weak person spiritually will have no strength and no success in the hereafter. Just like a person who's weak physically in the world, he cries, I can't earn, I can't be successful in the akhirah. The person who spiritually is weak will cry in the hereafter. Person physically who's weak in the world, he can't go to his shop. With his wife he's weak, with his children he's weak, and in all his jobs and work he's weak, he cannot sleep properly. In the same way spiritually, a person who's weak, my friends, my brothers, then what is that person? Allahu Akbar. Then in salah he is weak, In dhikr he is weak, in Quran he is weak, in every action that person is weak, and the person who is weak in every action spiritually, then how will he attain in the akhirah? Remember, those people who are weak, then if they sit down and say, oh, I give up, I'm weak, I can't practice, Allah says, I've prepared to solve your weakness. Go, if you think it's hard for you to do amal, to practice the thing, if it's hard, it's difficult, orders, and I can't leave haram, I'm practicing haram, it's difficult for me to practice, then the solution for the weakness is I need to make a true intention, sit in front of the wali of Allah and put his slippers on your head, and those slippers will become a crown for you. The crown for you. The deen will be practiced easy when you benefit from the comfort and the benefit of the sohbat, of the company of wali of Allah. And it's not about going to get bayah, become a student or murid. First make niyah, intention. Why am I going to the sheikh? Why am I going to the teacher? Why am I going to the spiritual doctor? What do I need to take from this doctor? What solutions do I need? What prescription do I need to attain? What medicine do I need? There's a great wali of Allah coming. Oh, Hazrat. Oh, my son. Please give him bayah. Please make him a student. Acha. So your children are first. What about you? What about you? You should be a first. No. Oh, make the children, make him dua for him. I want him to become a Hafiz Quran. Please do dua for him. And himself, the father doesn't pray salah. The parents don't pray salah. The business is based on interest. Riba, based on haram. Haram pillars. And you're selling haram. And you want to make your child a Hafiz of Quran. Oh, please give him bath. Give him bath, please bath. Because we hear that the bath, the pledge of the teacher with the student, and will make him a wali of Allah. So we have dishonored the bayah, understanding of the spiritual link with the wali of Allah. Make niyyah first, I'm going to the doctor. If I go to the doctor Sidra, this is my doctor as well. Dr. Sidra, yes, why have you come? Why have I come to you? I've made an appointment. I'm thinking, let me think, why did I come to you? Doctor will say, okay, go out of the room, have a think, and then come to me after. There are other patients waiting in the queue. So have you ever seen a patient like this in the doctor's surgery? But as soon as we open the door, Dr. Sahib, I've got a stomach ache, ear ache, or eye ache, and we'll start the story. So when we go to the wali wala, then what story do we take to the wali wala? Why don't we say that I'm a thief, and I'm a bandit, I'm a gambler, I look at women, I have a desire always in my heart, I always see the scenes of women, and my eyes look towards haram, and I want to make money all the time, left, right, and center, money from this person in the name of Islam, and on this person's name I earn, and I lie and I cheat and I deceive to make money, whether it's haram, halal, if it's in my destiny, that's it. I want to buy a nice car. So these diseases, go and tell the wali wala that I'm student like this, I'm your student, so that then the oil and the water can be separated so that you get a bitter pill. But we don't go and say this, we don't put forward our diseases, we look at the face of the wali wala, we do dhikr and come back. This will not give us the cure, my brothers. Am I wrong or am I right? So this is what the fast is telling us, that if you are weak, then go and present your weakness to the wali wala and make a distance between you and your weakness. What you need to do is create a link. I'll give you an example, the fast tells us. I'll give you an example with the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Strengthen your relationship. So this is what we should do, is that when we break the link with the wali wala, then we will not receive benefit from him. So if we break the link with the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, then we will not receive the benefit. We have to maintain both ties. Wherever there's la ilaha illallah, there has to be Muhammad Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam as well. These are both in parallel in the journey. If we're weak, we don't know about any sunnah, that we eat like animals, and we sleep like madmen, and we are like owls and birds, and we have no principle in our lives, no lifestyle, based on Allah Ta'ala's deen, the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam sunnah. We go to Hajj, come back, and we say, Allah, I've come to strengthen my deen with you. First, strengthen your relationship with who? With the Prophet Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, because I ordered you that through the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, you will succeed. You have to throw down that card and say, I followed the sunnah. Only then will I accept it. What a link. What a relationship. Allah has given us the conditions. Have to have the link. As Abdullah bin Umar radiallahu anhu, he saw a sahabi, a companion of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam radiallahu anhu. And he came to him, this other sahabi. And this is a hadith in Ibn Majah, I think. And he said, the Hazrat, what is it that I have sought and I looked in the Quran? These are two companions, subhanAllah. And I've tried to look in the Quran that I can get some guidance about Qasr Salah. So I say subhanAllah, that Salah in journey, suffer. I said Quran has been revealed, but Allah Ta'ala has also sent the man of the Quran. He's revealed, he is sent to us. Who is saying this? A companion to Hazrat Abdullah bin Umar. I've looked for the guidance in the Quran with regards to travel, Salah in travel. Today we have made the deen half, 50%. We said whatever's in the Quran, let's accept it. But you won't see the solutions there. The Quran is light, it's guidance, but it gives us the light to Chirag Munir. That you have to go to the physical being. وَمَا أَرْسَلْنَكَ Allah Ta'ala says, إِلَّكَ رَحْمَةً لِلْعَالَمِينَ, that I've made and sent him to you as the light, as the source of guidance. So where's that light of guidance, that source? Allah Ta'ala says, he's such a light that you will not understand the Qur'an unless you study the life of the Prophet Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. So he asked the same question, Hazrat, my dear colleague, that there's a masala, there are some questions on the salah in a journey. Where do we get the solution for these answers? Where do we get answers? So Hazrat Abdullah bin Umar radiallahu anhu gave the answer that, my brother, where are you looking for the answers in the Qur'an? The verses of the Qur'an, the framework, that's the framework. Where are you looking for the answers? That we only know one action, one response. That whatever answers come to our mind, whatever learnings we have in our life, we have learned via the physical lifestyle of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. We didn't get the answers from the Qur'an, we got the answers from his physical life. By watching him. Tell me, this is the Sahabi saying this to the other Sahabi. That we've looked at the Prophet Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, we imitated him, whatever he said, we did. The Quran gave the hukam, do this. Whatever he gives, take, and whatever he tells you to leave, leave it. That's it. So we don't go into the masail deeply. We had a physical proof, the Quran physically walking in front of us, and Allah said, here is the physical Quran, the Prophet Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. So look at him. So we didn't need to go into the pages of the Quran commentary. We didn't read fiqh and jurisprudence and Quran tafsir direct. We looked at his life. We didn't look in kitabs. We didn't look for proofs. We didn't try to protect our understandings. Rather, our ruh would accept that this is the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. We'll do what he says. A great time, great zamana. If you understand Quran and if you understand Urdu, you understand that the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, he was embedded into my heart. We would see his habits, his style, his mannerism, his actions, that no power of the world then could remove that which was embedded into our heart at that time. His lifestyle, his sunnah. This hadith of Sahih al-Bukhari, I think, Hazrat Ubaidah radiyallahu anhu, may Allah be pleased with him, narrates this hadith, a famous hadith, popular hadith. What was the style of the Sahaba ikram? This is ittiba. Following imitation, he said that we saw four things in you, Hazrat, four actions. And these things I've not seen anywhere else. Please tell me, what are these four things that you do? Why do you practice these? Say, Subhanallah. Subhanallah. So one companion's asking the other companion. He said, what four things of mine did you see that you don't see in other people anywhere? He said, the four actions that you do. He said, the first thing that you do, that you practice, is that you... Let me remember my mind, the hadith, I've studied this hadith before, quite a long time ago. If those four points, maybe it's not in the right order. He said, the four actions that I see in you, why do you do these? Yes, the hadith, number one, action number one, the action that you do is that you apply yellow dye or dye. Why do you apply this color of dye to yourself? And the second action that you do, which I've monitored and observed, is that there are four corners to the Kaaba. The Kaaba is one, and it is a square cube structure. And every corner has blessings, but you only touch the Rukn al-Yamani, the Yemeni corner, and the Hajar al-Aswad corner. Why do you do this? These two corners. Third action I've observed in you is that you wear these shoes, this footwear, without the hair, without the strands. Why do you wear these shoes without the strands, without the hair? And I've not seen this commonly. And the other fourth point that's not coming to my mind at the moment, which is if somebody remembers this, alims, the scholars are sitting, if this is in your mind, if you remember, nobody can remember this hadith, no? Let's think, maybe it will come to my mind. So tell me, these three actions, the four actions that are mentioned in the hadith. Ah, yes, the fourth thing. That he said to the Sahabi, that at the time of Hajj and in Makkah, we have seen people, some people do this, that as soon as they see the new moon of Dhul Hajj, they wear the ihram, but you wear the ihram on the 8th of Dhul Hajj. One of the first days, so hear the answers. He said, the first question you asked me, which is why do I apply this dye, this color of dye to myself? He said, there's no special answer. I apply this color of dye because the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, I saw him apply this color of dye to himself. Yes, the Quran wasn't open in front of him at that time. He said, why do you wear these shoes that have these strands or hair? He said, I wear these types of shoes, leather shoes, because I saw my Aka, my master, the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, wear such shoes, and I saw him doing wudu whilst he was wearing those shoes. Say Subhanallah. The third thing, so he said, why are you wearing like the socks, the leather socks, or the shoes on your feet? Anyway, the third thing, the Kaaba, that why you asked me about the four corners, and all four corners are blessed and respected and honored, but you asked me about Rukn al-Yamani and the Hajar al-Aswad corners, why do I touch them? And I will give you the answer that I only saw the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam touch or kiss and honor these two corners. And this became law and principle due to the statement of a Sahabi. And the fourth point about the ihram, that why do you wear ihram on the eighth day and not on the first day? He said, for this reason, I saw myself, the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, on the eighth of Dhul Hajj, he wore the ihram, and that's why I do the same. In other words, the answer for all questions is amanna wa sadaqna. We saw, we believed, and we implemented without asking the questions. So this is what we call ittiba', imitation following. And let's go beyond this. Another hadith, or I think it's Sahih al-Bukhari, this hadith, Imam Bukhari has narrated this. As Abdullah bin Umar radiallahu anhu, on another stage, he was sitting on his camel, and he was wandering around on his camel like this. You understand? He was telling his camel to go here and here, and this way, leading the camel. So a companion said to Hazrat, what are you doing here? You're sitting on the camel, and you're going from this direction to that direction, and this, especially in this place. What is the hikmah of this? What's the wisdom of this? Why are you doing this? And he stated, hikmah, wisdom, I don't know. What is the wisdom? I don't have a need to understand the wisdom. At the same place, the same ways, the same method, I saw my master, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, exactly same way do this with his camel. And this is the answer. Let's take the great example of his respected dear father, Hazrat Umar ibn al-Khattab radiallahu anhu. Great sahabi. Allah's Nabi, the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, said, if there was to be a Nabi after me, it would be him. And here, the Prophet ﷺ is telling us about the rank of Hazrat Umar radiallahu anhu. And we just spoke about his son. But subhanAllah, this was the son we just spoke about. And his love and his depth of love, ittiba' of the sunnah. Then imagine what the father was like. That if his son was an ashik, Hazrat Abdullah bin Umar. So the father is saying, the Hajarul Aswad, his son is saying about his practice and imitating. So Hazrat Umar radiallahu anhu was kissing the Hajarul Aswad. And the Sahaba, they heard him say that, oh Hajarul Aswad, you are a stone, a rock. You have no special status. Imagine his iman. He said, where can I get the benefit? Who is the one who gives? Allah and his Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam. That we run around all of the world trying to get reward. What are we going to get by running around all of the world? The Sahabi is saying, and he's doing tawaf, and we do tawaf on this. He said, you have no strength, no power, O Hajarul Aswad. You will be Hajarul Aswad, and we have no link with you. Especially our Rabb is one. Allah, we believe in Allah, and He has told us how to ask from Him. He's told us in such a way that Allah says, if you ask from me, I'll give to you straight away, within seconds. I won't delay. Allah says, you won't even raise your hands, and I won't give to you. Allah says, it's impossible. So have this experience and practice and try this. Try this, what I'm telling you. But we don't have experience. We don't want to learn. Allah says, Hazrat Umar radiallahu anhu said, you are rock, you are stone, you can't give benefit, but I will kiss you with love. I will not leave you. I will not leave the opportunity to kiss you. That you are a rock, you are stone, but I will kiss you firmly. Hold you and kiss you with such love that you'll be amazed. That Hazrat Umar radiallahu anhu loves this rock and stone so much love, so much regard, and you are black in color. But subhanAllah, you have won over my heart. And this is a tafsir, I'm just giving you added commentary according to my thinking and my emotions, subhanAllah. This is the tafsir of the hadith according to my passion and desire. So, here, Hazrat Umar radiallahu anhu explained that you are a rock, a stone, but why is your love in my heart so deep? What's the reason? Why? Because who did you have a link with? Who did you have a relationship with? Who did you have a link with? That you have a link, you are a stone, you are a rock. Yes, you are maybe not worth anything, but because Hazrat Umar radiallahu anhu loves you so much, Umar Farooq, who was the differentiator between Haqq and Batil. Why does Umar love you so much that you have forced me to love you? You have forced me to love you. So much love has overwhelmed Umar that I'm kissing you and I'm holding you. Why? For this reason, just for one reason, that those lips kissed you, subhanAllah. That mouth applied itself to you and kissed you, those lips kissed you. That in the world, in the universe, nobody had the lips, had lips and a mouth like this. My Mahbub, my Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam kissed you. So therefore you have become the beloved of my beloved. So why shouldn't I kiss you as well? So this is the justification, and this is following the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. My master Ma'aka, he did this, so and then I don't have love for that action. I think of leaving and making excuses. Ma'adakum. Allah Ta'ala says that such a beautiful point the Quran has made, that the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, whatever action he implemented, ataakum, whatever action he did, what is the order? The many styles and mannerisms and ways, and this is sunnah, in whichever way the Holy Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, you saw him practicing, whichever tariqah and method you saw him implementing, aha, but this is the condition, ataakum. Allah Ta'ala says that nobody should stop you from doing an action. Many times, for example, the Prophet ﷺ would have done an action, but he would have prevented you from imitating. The I got married 12 times, you can only do 4 maximum. For example, the Prophet ﷺ would have said, these actions are for me, not for you. So where the Prophet ﷺ has told you to do something, or told you an action and didn't give a limit, do that. But where he told you not to do it, you can't do it. But if the Prophet ﷺ implemented an action and told us that this is my sunnah, then Allah says, I've prepared for you until Qiyamah. The Quran will not be printed to tell you how to do it, that his actions are there until the end of time. Bukhari will be there, Imam Abu Hanifa will be there. Allah Ta'ala said, I send you kitabs, hadith, and to practice the sunnah, we will look at the lives of the imams, Imam Bukhari, Imam Abu Hanifa. Allah Ta'ala said, I send Abdul Qadir Jilani, Abdul Hazrat Khwaja Muhyiddin Chishti, Imam Rabbani, Hazrat Mujaddad Al-Aftani, Rahmatullah, Hazrat Tanwi, Rahmatullah, Hazrat Rashid Gangohi, Rahmatullah. Allah Ta'ala said, I send great personalities, and many on top of that all of the ulum, physically, spiritually, of the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, these great personalities will have presented it to you. Allah Ta'ala said, the Quran will not be hidden, and nor will your sunnah be hidden. Allah promised this to the ummah. And Allah said that if you hide the practice of Allah, if you hide the order of Allah and the practice of the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, Allah Ta'ala says, then I will not allow the dunya to continue. That such a person lives in the world who knows my Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, and he breaks the links and the ties and the relationship with Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, he doesn't know the importance of sunnah, then that qawm will not be able to exist. Allah says, I have no need for the dunya, and I will allow the dunya to come to an end, Allah says. So here, a very important principle arises. And with forgiveness, I present this point, then you have to decide on this yourself, that the Holy Prophet Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, how can his sunnah become fard? People say nowadays, oh, you've made the sunnah fard. Sunnah is not fard. No, don't emphasize too much this sunnah, it will become fard. Compulsory, don't wear the turban all the time, it will become fard. Compulsory, or don't do this sunnah all the time, it will become fard. We've never said, oh, don't eat meat all the time, it will become fard. We don't say this, don't eat halwa and sweet after food all the time, it will become fard. We don't say this, do we? Oh, no, halwa, please, meat. Oh, it's sunnah, isn't it? Sunnah. Nowadays, you know, it's sunnah to cook this food, and this is sunnah, that's sunnah, eat this is sunnah, and eat sawiyya and semolina. It's sunnah to have sweet after eating, and eat from this part of this and do this. So is this fard now? Isn't this fard? Imamah, by wearing the imamah so much, we say it's fard. Always become fard, that we should wear all the time. This is not the usul of the sunnah. The Holy Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, if he implemented one action and said one thing once, as Aisha Sadiqa radiallahu anha, our mother, if the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam raced with her once, ran with her once, then this has become a total sunnah. Now it's your choice. What is the tariqah to implement it? It's not fard or sunnah, or you can do it only once. Is there a mad person that he makes a sunnah fard if the Quran doesn't say it's fard? Am I mad that I'm going to say? Am I mad to tell other people I'm wearing a turban because it's fard? Of course I'm not. That's the fard has its fard, its own enjoyment and taste. I cannot mix the two. What foolish people who say, oh, you're following too much sunnah, you've made it fard. What a silly reasoning and deception to stop people following sunnah. I'm not going into a debate of fiqh, jurisprudence. I'm just presenting a simple point of Islam to you as a fakir, and your heart can decide on this whatever you think is best. As Aisha Sadiqa radiallahu anha, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam ran with it once, and he made a principle that this is my sunnah, and you can also run with your wife, or walk with her, and go out with her, or go on an outing with her, race with her. So what will this become? Then two things will attain. One is that my sunnah, the thawab, you will get the thawab of 100 shaheed, because I did this action, subhanallah. Who did this action? I did this action. So even if you implement it once, you'll get the reward of 100 shaheed. And secondly, subhanallah, that this will become ibadah for you, worship, because if you walk around, if your wife is a little bit fat or overweight, then she will also become a little bit fit and less heavy. So here a principle is taught to us that he was the Prophet of Allah, he was the Nabi, and if he did an action once, it's not necessary that he had to repeat it. But if the Prophet ﷺ tells us something once, until the day of Qiyamah, he has made this action, his sunnah. And if you keep on repeating this action, Oman, it will be benefit upon benefit. Ma'atakum, now giving you this action, the Prophet ﷺ, did he say only run once with your wife? Don't go twice. He didn't say this, did he? In the hadith, does he say? No. He left the action for us. Open playing field. Now I've given you my practice. You can practice as much as you want. For each repetition, you will get reward, and your wife will become fit and healthy. So where does it say after once, and if you do it twice, oh, it'll become fard? No. Is this a principle? Ask your iman. Is this a principle of deen? Where did we make this principle from? No. Don't keep on following sunnah. If Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said something once, or does something once, he's not going to tell us 10 times, 100 times in his life. He had to present to us the whole deen. He had many other things to do. His one hint was enough. Then this has become deen for you. As Abdullah bin Umar, whenever he would wander past a specific location, he would touch that place, the tree. And the Prophet ﷺ did it once, but he did it all the time. He got the reward all the time because it's sunnah. So does that become fard for him? No. Those people who make this principle, reject this principle, sunnah is sunnah, fard is fard. You can never make a sunnah fard. But yes, if you have the ability, do the sunnah once, you fulfill it. But if you want to do it 10 or 20 or 100 times, then you'll get the reward 10 or 20 100 times. Remember, the person who repeats the sunnah, embraces the sunnah, puts it into his heart, then all his life long, he will benefit from the sunnah. What is the hikmah? What is the wisdom? You cannot recognize this. I cannot recognize this. The wisdom, and this is the usul that we should make, that this has come from there. Don't look, how many times did Rasulullah do this? What did he eat? When we don't look at meat and we don't look at the sweet dish, there are many other actions that we do that we don't look at these, though, then my brothers, my colleagues, those things that today, nowadays, due to the age and generation, due to dunya, they pinch us. We don't feel like doing them due to our status and rank. They pinch us. So why do we diminish them and trample them and say we don't have to practice them? Why? So do you understand the point I'm making? That's the principle of deen. And this is the Allah Ta'ala has sent Ramadan to increase our love with his deen. With the deen of Rasulullah. The rest we can go to books and ulama and get fatwas. I'm not responsible for that. That's you know best and they know best. But this is the way of the fakir. And this is the way to demonstrate the love of the Prophet Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. We learn about any sunnah of his, just like the greatest sahaba. They didn't wait. Has this become sunnah? Is this fard? Is this important, necessary or not? How many times did they do it? If the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, did they say that don't do this action and it will become fard? Even Tarawih. The Prophet, where he needed to warn us, Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, he warned us that if I do this too much, it will become fard for you. So the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam told us if there was any action that you didn't have to do or stop doing it too much. But if the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam implemented a certain action and he didn't prevent us from doing it, then until the day of Qiyamah, you can do it 1,000 times. Then 1,000 times you will benefit from the hikmah of that sunnah. And this is the life of a Muslim, my friends. This is the message of Ramadan. And it's not just a link with Allah. The mu'min, he has a relationship with the Prophet Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, just like he has a link with Allah. And both are in parallel and are great and important and essential for us, and we cannot detach them anywhere. And the principle of both is one, that you cannot follow your wisdom, akal, intellect, brain power, understanding, dunya. Openly, you have to accept the decision of both Allah and the Prophet Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Whoever embraces this, just like fasting, Ramadan came and said, Allah says, you fasted for me. You fasted for me. In the same way, based on this principle, from morning till night, spend the time that as soon as you break the fast with the date, Allah Ta'ala announces your forgiveness. And in the same way, two principles, two forms of love. If you follow this usul and principle and you spend your time in the life, Allah Ta'ala says, you come to me, when you reach to me, arrive to me, at the time of iftar, I will give you the rewards and I will forgive you. In the same way, when you come to me, Allah says, with these two principles, then all of the dunya will be stood in front of him. Allah will say, I've forgiven this individual. So now, my friends, we need to understand this point, but we don't understand this message. May Allah Ta'ala give us all the tawfiq. Ameen.